This is Fantasy Sports Today inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you, and we've got a jam-packed show today. We're going to skip the regular news and notes because there's not really too much going on to report. So we're going to help you out on the waiver wire. We're going to do that first, and then a little bit later on, we're going to talk to Nick Giffen from RotoViz, and then Benny Riccardi, Fantasy Guru Elite. We're talking some NBA DFS, as well as we're hitting on the divisional matchups in the NFL, which are taking place this weekend, Chris.
Yeah, all rematches too, which is just kind of unique because none of these teams are division rivals, but they're all playing each other again. So, like, very, very cool. We won't talk about Derrick Rose. We know a little bit more about Derrick Rose. We won't get into him, but as Ashley, as you mentioned, there's some news, some waiver wire stuff, and Deion Waiters returned back into the starting lineup yesterday for the Heat. Yeah, he's widely available in leagues around 18% in Yahoo. I don't know how you feel about him. I think he can hurt your field goal percentage, but what I've noticed from him this season, and he missed about a month. He missed all of December with an injury. Since he's been back in the four games, he's starting to get some traction. But if you look at what I've noticed from him, really, 12 of the 16 games that he's played before the injury, he had taken at least double-digit shot attempts. So 19, 22, 18, 22. One game, actually, he had 26 shot attempts.
His field goal percentage
is not great. And yesterday, he was 4 for 17.
Yeah.
0 from 5 from beyond the arc. 8 assists is a little bit of a surprise. I don't think he's going to continue to do that. But if you're in need of maybe just some field goals made, maybe you play with field goals made, three-pointers made, he can help you out there. But just be cautious, like a lot of these guys we've been talking about lately, Buddy Hield of the world, they can hurt you in the field goal percentage department. But the shot attempts, I mean, that's a positive. If he's going to jack up 18, 20 shots a game, I want him on my roster.
It's a positive, and then also his minutes are positive. He's playing well over 30 minutes every game. He's getting every opportunity. But you really have to keep an eye on Miami. They've been riddled with injuries. Josh Richardson didn't play last game, which is another reason why Waiters' workload was so intense. But in total, there's been 155 games missed because of injury through various players on that Miami Heat roster.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily want to get locked down, married to some of these guys if you're going to pick them up, but I believe Deion Waiters definitely can help you. And keep an eye on those assists. 8, as you said, maybe something that's not sustainable, what we talk about all the time. It's so hard to get those assists off the waiver wire. So this could be a sneaky pickup for you. I'm behind Deion Waiters.
Yeah, and good call, because you're right. I mean, everybody on that Heat roster, I mean, Wade's gone, but there's still, like, everybody continues to get hurt. Whiteside. Gordon Dragic has not been able to stay on the floor for, you know, a couple seasons now. So, yeah, it's a good point. And maybe even some other guys continue to get hurt. Maybe Waiters just, maybe he jacks up 30 shots a game.
Shoots 25%. What would you prefer, though? Would you be more mad at someone like, and I'm going to use James Harden as an example, but it's really extreme, taking out his production, of course, someone who has about 10 turnovers a game, or someone who's going to put up 30 shots and shoot 30%?
Yeah.
Pick your poison, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Pick your poison. Hopefully you don't play with turnovers. I mean, because you look at, you know, Westbrook and Harden and what they're doing this season, and then you see the turnover numbers, and you're like, oh, wow, like, that's awful. But you know what? The best players in the game have the ball in their hands, you know, almost the whole game, the entire game. So those turnovers are going to happen. I don't mind the turnovers. It's going to hurt you a little bit, but hopefully you don't play with it. It's just one category.
How do you feel about Al-Farouq Aminu? He's been pretty good. His rebounding, 15 rebounds, I believe it was, 3 blocks in his last game for Portland. In his last 10 games, shooting 41% from the field, shooting 36% from 3, 7.6 rebounds. The points, just okay, 8, and a couple of assists splattered in there. But he's had some health issues to consider. So he had a calf strain. He missed a couple games early in the year, and then he had a back contusion, which forced him out of the lineup yet again. But when he's back, he's someone that's pretty consistent as a plug-and-play, a role player for that team.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great real-life basketball player. If you haven't watched this guy, he's very athletic. I miss him in Dallas. He, like, touches all categories. He really does. And you just touched on it a little bit. Maybe not the points are there, but the rebounds are there. He can block. He can hit a three. He can dish the ball. He can do a lot for you. And this is somebody I drafted in a lot of leagues. I cut ties with him in one league because, as you mentioned, the calf injury, and it took a while for him to get back. But if he's available in your leagues, I'd say you go ahead and pick him up, because I just love these players that can just hit all categories. And in a DFS community, he's kind of hard to trust because sometimes there's some inconsistency in his game, but he's fairly cheap, so you can get away with some of the inconsistency. So I'm on board for this guy. I like what he does across the board everywhere, and the minutes are from, like, high 20s to mid to high 30s, so he's getting playing time. So yeah, if you need help across the board, pick him up, because he can contribute everywhere.
He seems someone to me, though, and you tell me what you think, he seems someone to me that would be more appropriate for season long and less for DFS.
Yeah,
is.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it, because you just don't know what you're going to get from him every single night. It's like, he only got 4 points, and then you see 18 points. But I love that he can give you a block, he can give you a steal, he can shoot the three. I love that he can just hit all those categories.
Let's switch gears to the NHL a little bit. I want to know how you feel about someone who scores a hat trick, which is always good news, but when that hat trick comes as the first points in about 30 games and it doubles their point total on the season, not sure if that's necessarily a great thing.
No, it's not a great thing, actually. Yeah, good for Mikhail Bodker for getting 3 goals last night and a goal the night before, but the night before that, he was a healthy scratch. And this is a guy who's playing on the fourth line. This is his first year in San Jose, really just starting, trying to make a name for himself, get in out of the coach's doghouse, I suppose. But, you know, he played 13 minutes yesterday and he got 3 goals. And the night before, he played 12 minutes and he got 1 goal. He's, like I said, he's buried on the fourth line. He's not getting any power play time. I'm not buying into Mikhail Bodker. It's disappointing because he has shown in spurts in his short career that he can score and he's been a power play machine. But if he's not getting on the ice in the power play with San Jose, who's got arguably one of the best in the league, then I just don't want a piece of him. I don't feel like there's enough upside for him.
Feel free to go on your player list, though, in your season-long format. That little star on the left side, click that. Put him on your watch list.
Good call.
Put him on your watch list and just monitor his minutes if his performance stays this impressive, as you mentioned, the production under limited time on the ice. That's something to watch out for.
So he's skilled.
So he's on our watch list.
Yeah.
So, but he's not someone that you want to run and pick up. What about Sam Reinhart? I'm surprised with his ownership numbers being so low. Maybe the offense hasn't been there as consistently as you like, but the skill set is definitely there for a breakout anytime.
Ashley, maybe nobody is watching our home ice advantage hockey segment, because I feel like all we do is when you come up
Reinhart.
And you talk about like your the point leaders for the Boston Pizza Fan Draft app, I'm always talking about players who are trending up, and Sam Reinhart continues to trend up. I mean, last night, the Buffalo Sabres switched their lines all around, but there's some talented forwards on this team. Last night, he played with Evander Kane. He wasn't playing with O'Reilly and Eichel, but you know, the power play unit in Buffalo, that first unit is Eichel, Pozzo, O'Reilly, Ristolainen, and Reinhart. Those are 5 of the best forwards or defensemen for Ristolainen that the Buffalo Sabres have. You see the point totals there, 3 goals and 9 assists over the last like 8 or 9 games. He is great. His first full season in the NHL last year, he flirted with 30 goals. He's a second overall pick in 2014. There's a lot to like about Sam Reinhart. As I mentioned, Buffalo is always mixing their lines up, but he's always going to play with somebody good. Go ahead and pick him up. I mean, he's been on my roster for a long, long time.
Yeah, and he seems to have hit his stride a little bit. Struggling, 27 points in 40 games, but as you saw on the board just before, he has 12 points in his last 10 games.
The thing is, it's Jack Eichel. When Jack Eichel missed the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season, and Buffalo was, they weren't scoring goals. And now that Jack Eichel is back, I mean, last year these two were paired up in a line and they were scoring every single night in the last month of the season. So Buffalo Sabres have a sneaky good offense, so get a piece of it.
Do the Vancouver Canucks have a sneaky good offense?
No.
Are they sneaky good at anything?
Not really. They're playing better hockey. We will throw out Alexander Edler out there because there's been a lot of defensemen who are hurt. I would actually rather him than Morgan Rielly. I drop Morgan Rielly for Alexander Edler. It depends on what you have in your league. If you're playing with hits and block shots, and he can definitely, definitely help you out. He missed a whole lot of games with a broken hand, I believe. So he's played 8 games since he's been back. Vancouver's won 6 of 8, so that's a key for getting him back. He's played back-to-back games with at least 27 minutes on the ice. So in those 8 games, 5 points, 6 shots, 21 hits, 24 blocks. Another guy that can contribute across the board, getting power play time. The Canucks don't score a lot of goals. They give up a lot of shots. That's why he's got so many blocks. So if you're playing with blocks and hits, he can certainly help you out and widely available.
He's going to touch those grimy categories.
Yeah, and you need those categories. If you're playing with hits and blocks, you need those guys that are like hardly owned. But he has some upside to get you points.
You can't just have all those finesse guys.
Yeah, you can't.
No. Do you think our next guest, Nick Giffen, is a finesse guy?
Oh, he's full of finesse.
He's full of finesse.
Yeah.
We're going to see if that finesse can convince you on some of his NFL picks for the divisional round coming up this weekend.
Talking pits.
Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studio for Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you, but we're not enough. There's so many people out there that can provide you a ton of information, and so we're going to talk about some NFL matchups for the divisional round coming up this weekend, and Nick Giffen is going to join us. He's from RotoViz, and he is going to talk some game script and also players to focus on in your DFS matchups. Hi, Nick.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Hey, we're doing good. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get right into it. As Ashley and I talked off the top, Nick, is that all 4 games are rematches from earlier in the season, which is pretty cool because none of these teams are division rivals. So let's start with Atlanta and Seattle. They played in week 6. If you remember, it was in Seattle, a 26-24 win for the Seahawks, even though there was some controversy at the end with a missed PI call. If you ask Gabe Morenci, he's still pretty upset about it. But Julio Jones had a pretty good game, 7 for 139 with a touchdown. Matt Ryan line was perfectly fine, like he's been all year long. 335 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. On the other side of that game, Seattle was fairly quiet. Russell Wilson didn't throw a touchdown. Christian Michael found the end zone twice. He's no longer around. How do you see this game playing out this time around in Atlanta? Like, who are the guys you're looking for in the DFS community?
Yeah, well, it was definitely a heartbreaker for me, as I'm also a Seattle fan. But that aside, I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are great plays this week. Sometimes people get scared of the Seattle, defense, and I think potentially in a short slate where there's still a lot of other good quarterbacks available, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, etc. I think there's a chance that Matt Ryan's ownership, well, it won't be like depressed that much. It still won't be like extremely high. It'll probably just be in the same range as those other guys that are quarterback studs. So I think in this kind of a slate, you don't really have to worry about QB ownership too much. So in that case, I just like kind of playing your studs here. And I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones will have a great matchup, especially with Julio not being necessarily shadowed by Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas being out. Julio Jones is actually $500 cheaper on DraftKings than he was the previous time they faced Seattle. So I definitely like the situation for Atlanta studs here.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is the fifth best passer rating. He has the fifth best passer rating in NFL history. So you want to talk about good defenses? Sure, of course. But if you look at the DST slate, it's actually Patriots, Chiefs, then Seahawks. They're the third most expensive. I want to talk to you about anyone who might be thinking about starting Russell Wilson, starting Thomas Rawls. Do you think that the Falcons defense actually could be underrated? Because if I'm not mistaken, it was Dan Quinn who was the DC for the Seahawks when they won the Super Bowl. So is that a defense that might be going under the radar a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Atlanta, they're pretty opportunistic. They have some really big games, or they kind of just put up duds. But I think at home against a Seattle offensive line that's been struggling, Atlanta certainly has defensive sleeper upside. And one of the things I like doing is targeting the defense in like high scoring games that's favored, because what will often happen is you'll get into a shootout and Russell Wilson will have to throw a lot coming from behind, and that leads to picks, which could lead to pick sixes and touchdowns. So that's definitely a strategy I use, and it usually makes them lower owned, although I think Atlanta's defense could actually end up being maybe the second or third highest owned defense of the week.
Oh, interesting, and I like that you kind of gave us your prediction. You know, the Seahawks behind, Russell Wilson throwing picks, we see where you're going in this game.
I know, it breaks my heart.
Let's talk about Houston and New England, because I don't think there is doubt in many people's minds that New England is going to win this game. They're the heavy favorite, although Houston held the Raiders to just over 200 yards of total offense last game, but the Patriots are a different beast. It is, though, hard to peg down who the guy is going to be in New England, because
Absolutely.
You have Edelman, you have Mitchell, you have Chris Hogan.
Floyd is now there.
There's just so many different weapons. So what do you do with the situation in New England?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm actually probably going to be underweight on Tom Brady. That's because in these blowout games, they do tend to run the ball a lot, and I think that ends up favoring LeGarrette Blount. We've seen in double-digit games, or games where they're favored by double digits, LeGarrette Blount just has some unreal splits. So I think this is probably a game where they're going to eventually get him involved, maybe even if it's not early. Maybe if they try to split the work between him and Deion Lewis early. It's kind of a little 50-50 with some James White mix in there, but I certainly think at the goal line, they'll get their opportunities. Houston has allowed a decent amount of rushing touchdowns inside the red zone this year. So I certainly think LeGarrette Blount is a strong play this weekend.
And Blount was strong in that game earlier in the season. And it was 27-0 win, and it wasn't even Tom Brady against the Houston Texans. It was Jacoby Brissett. So good luck, Texans. Let's move on. Pittsburgh and KC. Earlier in the season, Pittsburgh won 43-14. That game was in Pittsburgh. We know about Big Ben on the road and at home. The splits are tremendous. How do you feel like this game is going to play out in KC with that crazy fan base at Arrowhead?
I think this is going to be a really tough game for Pittsburgh. Obviously, Kansas City has a pretty good defense. They are a little bit worse against like outside wide receivers. So there is some benefit there maybe to playing a kind of a contrarian stack with Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. But by and large, I like kind of fading Pittsburgh, although I think a lot of the industry probably will feel the same way because they're on the road and we all know these splits. Ben Roethlisberger's a little hobbled. All of that, the last time that happened, he put up a stinker. I can't remember which team it was against, but he came in hobbled and didn't play very well on the road. So this is definitely a situation where I want to avoid most of the Pittsburgh guys.
Would you think at all about, because you feel like most of the community will be off of Pittsburgh, do you feel like at all in like one big tournament you'll just maybe roll out a couple Steelers just in case? Because Big Ben had 5 touchdowns in that game earlier in the year. I know it was at home, but 5 touchdowns is hard to ignore.
Yeah, I definitely think there's merit to playing a very good quarterback, a very good offense in general, home road splits aside, a very good offense in general at a low ownership percentage. So there's definitely merit to it. I will be doing it. I just won't be going crazy on Big Ben by any means, because he certainly can burn us. I think maybe if you have 10 lineups, having him in 1-2 is more than enough. I probably will go with on the one side closer to a 10% exposure.
It's the second postseason meeting between Pittsburgh and KC. KC won the last one in overtime. However, it was in 1994. So a lot has changed since then, but those facts are always kind of fun to throw out there.
Absolutely.
Finally, our last matchup on the slate, Green Bay at Dallas. Jordy Nelson, he's questionable. He has some cracked ribs. We talked about it earlier in the week on Monday when he first got injured, that it's going to be a pain tolerance issue unless it becomes more serious if he gets hit again. Do you think that even matters at this point, because Aaron Rodgers has proven he can work magic with Cobb and Adams as well?
Anybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I think this year it probably doesn't matter as much as it obviously did last year. I think there's several different things that are obviously different between last year and this year in terms of roster construction for the Green Bay Packers. So I think that's why it's something not to be too concerned with for Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, that makes somebody like Randall Cobb a very interesting play, but I think he's going to be super high owned. So I like fading him and maybe playing Devontae Adams, Jared Cook. I also think Jared Cook will be very highly owned because he's got the best tight end matchup, but at least I expect Randall Cobb to be the highest owned of anybody. He's $1,700 more on DraftKings this week than he was last week, and he's basically put up duds all the way until last week. So I'm going to just play the probabilities and be very underweight on Randall Cobb and go heavier on the other Packers options.
And something we heard before we came on was that Ezekiel Elliott got into a car accident, but apparently he's okay. You're going to roll him out there? Yes? No? He had a pretty big game against the Packers earlier this year.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely rolling Zeke out. I think, you know, he's a stud every week, and it's going to be, you know, I think people will have to rely on Le'Veon Bell, but I think comparatively to Le'Veon Bell, a $2,000 discount on DraftKings, for example, is just very, very enticing. So I will certainly be rolling Ezekiel Elliott out on DraftKings. I think on FanDuel is probably a little bit closer of a call. He's just going to have a great matchup, and I think, you know, they really will heavily rely on him. I think this game could be a bit of a shootout as well.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We got to get out of here, but we really appreciate your time and your insights. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
See ya. Take care. Enjoy the football.
What did Zeke say? I've been in bigger collisions.
Yeah.
He's initiated bigger collisions on the football field.
Yeah,
I'm excited
sure.
for that game big time. Who do you think is going to win, Dallas or Green Bay? Do you believe in Dallas? Do you believe in Dak?
No.
You don't believe it. Green Bay. All right. For the win. We're going to do some NBA, NBA DFS on the way back from break. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We're doing some NBA DFS as per tradition. But for the first time, I'm excited. Benny Ricciardi joins us. Fantasy Guru Elite. How's it going, Benny?
Yeah, pretty good. Just sitting here over in the studio down in New York. You guys are up in Toronto, so, you know, we're on different sides of the world, but doing the same thing.
Hey, it's looking good there in the studio, man. You're doing some wicked work on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For those who haven't, I know you're taking a break from it right now, but for those who want to get the app and listen, just follow at Fantasy Radio, FNTSY Radio. You can catch Benny on there all the time. You guys are always talking DFS, so let's talk basketball. As Ashley mentioned, six games on the hard court tonight. James Harden atop the list here on DraftKings, and Russell Westbrook. Westbrook's got a little bit of a tougher matchup, but Harden has been just so good lately. Of the two, who are you feeling tonight?
Yeah, I think Harden's the way I'm going to go. I mean, you got back-to-back games, back-to-back triple-doubles out of this guy with 40 real-life points in both of those games. Over on DraftKings, put up, you know, 79 points in each of the last two games. And the thing is, his floor is very safe, too. His bad game is still 55 fantasy points. So while it's not great on a per-dollar basis, it's also not going to kill you. You're going to still be able to cash with a guy scoring 55 in your lineup. So Harden's the guy I give the nod to over Westbrook, and he's a lot cheaper today as well. I mean, Westbrook's been every bit as good too, but I'll take the discount on a guy who's got, you know, back-to-back triple-doubles with 40 real-life points.
Also, OKC playing Memphis. Memphis tend to slow things down, so there might not be as many possession opportunities for Russell Westbrook, and I wouldn't worry about the back-to-back for Houston either, just because James Harden. Just because James Harden. It just becomes an explanation for things. What about the Washington-Boston game? It's kind of interesting to me. We saw the Celtics lose to Toronto in what must have been a real deflator of a game, because they really think that they are the second best team in the East. They proved last night, at least, that they were not. So Marcin Gortat is someone who's kind of old faithful for Washington, and he's been really good as of late.
Yeah, the thing about Gortat, he's playing 36, 38 minutes a night because they just really don't have anybody else that they can play instead. And then at the same point in time, we watched Jonas Valanciunas last night, you know, put up 51 fantasy points against this Boston front line. One of the problems they've had all season long has been rebounding. At one point in the season, they were giving up the most putbacks to the other team. I think they're either second or third in that now, but it's still, you know, a way that centers have been dominating them. Al Horford was a great pickup, but he's a little bit undersized. So when they play these big centers, tends to be a problem for him. And I think that's going to be the same problem tonight. So Gortat, reasonably priced, and I think he has a lot of upside at that price.
Especially with the bad front court, as you mentioned. He went 9-for-9 against Carl Anthony Towns, the first person on Washington to do that since 1999. Not on Towns, but just shoot perfect. So I think against Boston, you can really exploit that.
Speaking of Towns,
yes.
We already talked about Westbrook. How do you feel about Towns tonight? He always seems like a decent play, and he seems like he's priced decently.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy. I mean, last game he went out, put up 60 fantasy points, and he's another one like James Harden. He's 20% cheaper than Harden, and his floor is about 45 fantasy points. So even when he has a bad game, you know he's going to go out there and give you production. It's a pretty decent matchup for him tonight. I think he can put up some big numbers today. So he's a guy that I like putting in there, and there's actually enough value today that you could fit him and Harden on rosters together and not have to feel bad about the guys you put in there around them. I don't know if you can do that when you're spending half your salary cap if you try to fit in Westbrook and Harden. So I prefer to go down to Towns as my second superstar tonight.
Who are some of those value plays? Ashley and I talked about Al-Farouq Aminu, who is a guy who can touch all categories and just getting added en masse in season formats. Do you trust him in DFS?
Oh, yeah. He's been a guy that I've been rolling out all week long at this point. His price is still pretty cheap. He does a lot of different things. He rebounds for you. He'll get a couple assists. He's active on the defensive end, so he'll get you at least 1.5 steals and blocks per game. And then just because he plays so many minutes, he's going to luck into 10 or 12 points. And, you know, when you add all those things together at the price he is, he's been returning 6x value for us, giving us 30-plus fantasy points over the last week. So he's definitely a guy I like. And then another situation that I'm keeping my eye on. A couple guys on that Orlando Magic team might not be playing tonight. We got Elf Payton, who's questionable. We got Serge Ibaka, who's questionable. If Serge Ibaka is out, I don't think there's any way I can't have a ton of exposure to Aaron Gordon in my lineups. You know, Gordon, very athletic player, number 2 overall pick in a draft a few years ago. He has had some big games, but he's been inconsistent. If you have Serge Ibaka out of the lineup, though, he's almost a lock to play 30, 35 minutes tonight. And in that kind of minutes, I definitely think he'll produce for the price. So he's somebody that I'm keeping my eye on, trying to see how that news works itself out.
Yeah, we were talking about a similar situation with Chicago yesterday, and it ends up being like Denzel Valentine, who had 19 points. But those situations are always hard to navigate. But Aaron Gordon seems like a pretty safe pick in terms of a fill-in role. We got to get out of here, Benny, but we really, really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope, and enjoy the rest of your radio show.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Be good.
Okay. Thanks, Benny. Enjoy the basketball tonight.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon or Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah, Vucevic. Yeah, also I love that from option. Benny. I mean, it's just so important these days when you're playing DFS and basketball just to follow the injuries, the shoot-arounds in the morning, and guys are just always so questionable. If they're out of the lineup, there's some value to be had.
We'll be watching.
Definitely in Orlando. Check Benny out on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. He's good.
You do that.
Great stuff.
We'll be watching. Watch Benny. Watch the lineups. Bye.
All right. We're out of here.